Grade 5, Language Arts, Part 1. Concerning language arts, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that the fifth grade is like a golden age of writing. That's where something really is golden about it. It's not going to be that every child in the class will become a literary light, but following the rule of three, you know, one third of the class will suddenly, almost out of nowhere, start to write really remarkable compositions. One third will discover that it's possible they can do it, and one third will lag behind. I can't do it at all. But two thirds of the class then is going to be writing far beyond what they were capable of doing in grade four, and creating a foundation for the ever more demanding writing tasks that you want to be giving them in grades 6, 7, and 8. So that's the good news. There's something that you can count on, a big leap forward in that respect. The bad news is that fifth grade is a golden age of writing. And the children love to write, and they love to write a lot. And some of the best writers in the class don't know when to stop. So you are going to suddenly get not the 1 or 2 page efforts of grade four. Thor was a god. He could be an angry god, but rather lengthy descriptions of everything that you have taught them. Everything. When Krishna was little, he lived among the cowherds. Krishna loved to tend the cows, but above all, he loved eating butter. The gopis could hardly keep Krishna away from that butter. He would try everything to get that butter. Oh, how sounding just like you, exactly like you, because the etheric body is so strong. These children are like camcorders, as it were. They are really drinking it all in, and the girls in particular, who are more firmly and fully incorporated than the boys, their memories are just nonstop. Now, this year, just accept it joyfully. It's the gift of the etheric world to you. You can really learn something about what memory must have been like in the days that an ancient Indian could learn the Mahabharata and the Ramayana by heart, in the days when a Greek boy would be educated primarily by learning the Iliad and the Odyssey by heart. Even though, even at best, our memory forces are pallid compared to theirs, we can see something in the fifth grader of what that might have been like. So you do not want to say to them, you don't have to say everything I said, and never say, that's not important, and that is. Don't do that. Sixth grade, and not even the beginning of sixth grade, the middle, the last third of sixth grade, is when we begin that difficult lesson about starting to differentiate the essential from the non-essential. And we do that in grade six. Here's a little preview for you, no extra charge, by teaching the children how to start outlining, to actually begin to take notes in some main lessons, not all of them, but some. And that is like pulling teeth. That's just the opposite. Again, especially for the girls who just want to bring everything forth like Athena fully born, for them to have to start systematically deciding what's important and what isn't. But we'll talk about that in next year's online conference and how to work with that. But this year, writing for that one-third of the class anyway is a joyful experience. The second third of the class, they'll need your help, they'll need your prodding, they'll need examples from you, which you write out on paper or on the board. They'll be learning very much from the writing that you're still doing on the board. And the final third, which not to be sexist here, but will probably be about 99.9% boys, that final third will need the help of the girls. And this is where the principle of each one teach one that I have evoked and cited a number of times in this conference becomes really critical. So anyway, what I mean by bad news is not only that they write and write and write. Okay, that's a lot to read, but let's face it, with the exception perhaps of one child in the class, their spelling is not quite where it should be. Their grammar, their punctuation, they're still learners in all of this, and they'll try perhaps to do some stylistic flourishes now and then, or write it in the form of a dialogue, and that's fine. Let them play around and have fun with it. But you have a lot of correcting to do. And this is one of the main reasons that I think in the past, especially, so much work was done from the blackboard. Why so many teachers just keep writing and writing and writing, because then the amount of misspelling is minimal, though remarkable how some kids manage to do a lot of misspelling when they copy even from the blackboard. And then you have well-constructed sentences, good grammar, and so on, and all you have to do is just take a look in their main lesson book and they can white out a mistake here or there. But to have them write their own, that is much harder. So let's look at the ways in which we can set up the compositions and a way for you to have a life. And I just want to preface this by, again, one of my good old days or bad old days recounting, depending on your perspective, that when I had 28 kids in a class, another class 31, another class 34 in fifth grade, as it happened, the top two-thirds of the writers were really, really prolific, voluminous, and even the bottom third, there were a few of them there who could manage to write five or six pages of agonizingly incorrect spelling, grammar, and so on, but at least they were writing. That was something. Okay, so I'm talking here about 10 pages of a rough draft. Some kids who wrote proudly 15-page rough drafts. Let's say it's an average of 8 or 9 pages. Multiply that by 34. Okay, how many pages am I taking home? So you can understand why I have given a lot of thought to, again, working with Steiner's soul economy, spiritual economy, and allowing yourself to have a life. Because now you're going to see it's not just what you do in the classroom, it's not just the preparation you need, but now a new element arises of a lot of careful correction. So how do you do this without kind of doing it for the kids and just, you know, nursing them for 8 or 10 years because it's easier than going out and buying milk, but rather to let them work independently, knowing that their independence, like the first time your child decided to bake a cake, is a lot more work for you. But of course, how will they ever manage on their own if we don't take this burden on? So here are some suggestions for making it less than insane. Number one, as I mentioned speaking about main lesson books, and as you could see in the slideshow presentations, I did not have the children write many, many assignments. There are some teachers who feel, you know, every week there should be something written. Every day they should be writing a little bit to get accustomed to doing the writing. I think that there's something to be said for that. There are ways of working with that for sure. But I would say for the bigger compositions, that for a 3-week main lesson block, 2 long compositions are sufficient. If they are really good compositions, if it shows that the child really has learned something, which means that you have to, if you haven't already, tell the parents the main lesson book is not meant to be a photocopy of everything we've learned. That a lot of what we have learned, and rightfully so, really lives in the child, lives not only in their memory, but also in the depths of their soul. That the compositions are just a part of the whole, but we hope in a symptomatic way, like the way we teach history, a part that really captures the whole as well. So we want to choose a biography, a myth, something like the 3 orders of Greek architecture, something that will allow the children to range beyond the subject at hand and show the generality of knowledge that they have. And by the time we are working with grade 7 online conference, you'll see how interdisciplinary and wonderfully integrated such compositions can become in the later grades. But this is the beginning of it. So that means that you can really easily assign the children 1 composition a week, so that you're only going to have to deal with the mass of corrections once a week. And this is how I would work it. We would, let's say, be learning about Socrates on Monday. On Tuesday, we go on to the death of Socrates and the work that Plato did to immortalize him. On Wednesday, then we are already on Aristotle. The assignment is given to the children Tuesday or Wednesday at the very latest. Write about the life and death of Socrates. So that means they could start it Tuesday night or they could wait till Wednesday, but you really encourage them, first of all, to start and do as much as possible in the classroom, so that what they're taking home with them is only the icing on the cake. And as I've mentioned before, there are some good reasons for this, and this goes back to the homework issue altogether. You want them to begin their writing experience, their now more mature, serious writing experience, with you present, so that they can ask you questions, they can share their frustrations with you. You can get a very good idea, you know, who among the writers is a self-starter, who among the writers is really focused, who among the writers simply cannot start by him or herself, you know, really needs your help, and you sit with him or her. If 4 boys are saying to you, I don't remember anything, I don't know where to begin, I don't know what happened, get those 4 boys, or 6 boys more likely, maybe even 8 or 10, get them together and hold a mini class then or there, you know, on how to come to some ideas and share things with each other, so that they don't feel so desperately alone, that they see, you know, their friends are having the same problem, and here is how we work with it. Later on in the year, I would have a girl or two sit with 2 or 3 or 4 boys and let them show how filled with inspiration they are and how many ideas they have. So you have to recognize that many of the boys will need step-by-step help in getting a composition started, less so the girls. Go around the room and, you know, read little samples, see what's going on. If you see something really wonderful and inventive, rip it out of the child's hands, stand up in front of the class and read from it. You know, give them a feeling that this is like a writer's workshop. And this is a good time to have Raphael's wonderful painting, The School of Athens, though it's 7th grade Renaissance material, but it does have Plato and Aristotle and Pythagoras and a whole host of other great Greek philosophers and mathematicians in it. And what's wonderful about that painting is it's a painting of ideas and concepts and intellectual discovery. But people are running into that space. They're excited. They're sharing with each other. So it's very inspiring in that way, especially for those people who feel that picking up a pencil is agonizing in and of itself. A little bit about the mechanics of this writing work. The children should be given either a marbleized notebook with lined paper or sheets of lined paper, whichever you feel is more loss-proof. And they should write as nicely as they can. You don't want scrawls and scribbles. Yes, they are allowed to cross out if they make a mistake. And they must double space. And this seems like a no-brainer, but you know it's not. Their name must be at the top of the composition. If you're giving them loose pages, their name must be at the top of every single sheet, okay? So even if the dog eats it, the dog knows what their name is anyway. This is almost one of the biggest issues, along with please take your hat off, that up until graduation day in eighth grade was still an issue. Whose diploma is this? I don't see a name on it. Always the name, the name, the name. And it just shows, you know, how frail, how beginning, how young those ego forces are, that they can't really even put their names on things and hold on to it that way. So name at the top, title at the top. If it's multiple pages, please number the pages. I can't always tell where one page ends and another one begins. And double spaced, double spaced. How do you make sure they do all this stuff? You don't want to hear. I would simply, the first time, I would return it to the child, of course, to write that on. But after a while, if this was endemic, if this was systemic, I was simply throwing the compositions into the trash until I received it in the right form. Name on top, double spaced. I'm sorry, it's horrible, but especially if you've been teaching them about Sparta, they'll understand. They'll understand who Draco was and the draconian laws that were passed. You've got to do this. It's a huge thing, and it's never going to go away. Any more than wearing baseball hats in class or sneaking in with t-shirts that violate the dress code or worse. Either you take a big stand on it in a very dramatic way, or you're going to deal with it for 4 years. And if you don't mind dealing with things like that, good for you. You won't always be able to tell by the handwriting. You won't always be able to tell by the style whose composition is whose, and that delays you in your ability to correct it and return it to the right person. And double spaced, double spaced, double spaced, where you will not have room for your corrections. So I would get those back then on Friday. They were given time in main lesson every morning, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, to work on it. Many children easily finished it in class. So I saw it from beginning to end. Others took it home and worked on it there. In some cases, I was in close connection with the parents, close touch with them, making sure that they were helping the child. And some of the boys needed this, began writing independently only in eighth grade. but needed that kind of degree of help from me and from their parents. And such boys are probably not really going to be able to write independently until about 11th grade. What girls can do out of themselves in grade 5, some boys will not be at that level of independence. They'll be older, bigger, and more mature, of course. But in terms of independent writing, 7 years have to pass, 6 or 7 years, not until they're at the end of grade 11. And for the boys, it is often the Parsifal block, if they're fortunate enough to be in the Waldorf High School. That block, which calls for a lot of independent work and really creative writing, that is where the boys suddenly find their voice. So we have to be very, very patient with the boys in terms of writing. Less so in terms of math and other things, but writing, yes. You receive the drafts, and what happens is there can be a kind of line of kids coming up. You know, I'm finished, or I have a question, or whatever. You're at your desk now. They're lining up, and you are rapidly in front of them. This is true of, let's say, the first 10 compositions that they write. You want them to watch you do at least some, if not all, of the corrections. So you have to do them quickly, point out, give them mini grammar lessons. This is one of the, if not the most important time to teach grammar, when you're correcting their own writing. And one way of getting the whole class engaged in grammar is to have a child go up to the board and write a paragraph. This would be before the day begins, comes in early, or the day before, right after school, writes a paragraph on the board, and the class parses that paragraph. We don't know whose it is, perhaps, or at least most don't know whose it is, and they get a very practical grammar lesson from something in which they are deeply interested, something created by a classmate. And we want to also have a lot of reading aloud of these compositions, the good ones and the not so good ones, so everybody's voice is heard. It's part of the whole review process as well. So you're giving them the corrections. The only thing I beg you not to correct, but only to circle, are misspelled words. And you have, of course, dictionaries, and I hope thesauruses, and perhaps spelling dictionaries in the classroom. And they have to learn to use the dictionary. And out of sheer laziness, this will help some children spell. They'll just realize the alternative is only just going through those weighty tomes and looking and looking and looking. And that's a very good exercise for them. So from fourth grade on, children mid-fourth grade should be working with dictionaries and never receiving any spelling help from you whatsoever. And this will help them greatly. So they receive the rough drafts back with your corrections, and then carefully, carefully, they copy them into their main lesson book. And of course we see, and you'll see from even the very fine work that I show on the slideshows, amazing what gets by, how you miss things staring at you in huge letters. Oh no, how did I let that one go? You only see it when the work is put on exhibition or is being seen by a million people online every day. But that will happen, but you do the very best you can. So then that means that by Friday, you have received all of the rough drafts. Some of the children have gotten them back already because they gave it to you so quickly. They're already putting in their book. Others will get it on Monday and will write it back in their books at that time. Now you may think, yeah, but this is going to be creating now a real discrepancy in the amount of time that children are working on things and somebody's 2 days ahead or whatever. Yes, that is going to start to happen in grade 5. and it will happen even more in the upper grades. And that is, in a way, again, one of the prices that we pay for weaning the children from our justifiable, correct, necessary, lockstep marching in the first four grades. Now we start to allow them to find their own speed, their own pace. And it means that we have to keep carefully monitoring where they are, how they're working. And then I would actually give the children 1 week after a main lesson, after a block was finished, to fully complete their book. It was due then a Friday, 1 week after the block had been done. So that would help to make up for some of those time differences. All right, we'll go on and look at other aspects of language arts in grade 5 in the next lecture.